thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. And we have a great NFL hot take that really isn't all that hot when you think about it, coming up in a couple of minutes. But, you know, did you see this story today, Mike? This is one of those stories that everybody is sending to each other, and they're all sending the video to each other. The guy in Galveston, Texas, who was a lawyer, who decided as a prank he was going to dress up as Michael Myers from Halloween and walk on the beach ahead of a big tropical storm with a big fake bloody knife. And the guy does it. Mark Metzger, who was a lawyer, decided to do it as a prank. Somebody saw him and called into the police saying, there's a guy in a mask with a bloody knife walking down the beach. Police showed up and arrested him. And you see the video of the cops and Michael Myers is down on the sand with his hands behind his back. I'm like, why didn't that work in the movies? Why couldn't they figure out a way to make that work in the movies?
Fair point. But he's lucky he didn't get his ass shot. To steal from Hamilton a little bit. I mean, that's just foolishness.
That's just
a bad job by him. Pranks are one thing. That goes. It's not Halloween. You can only go so far, man.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Because look, even on Halloween, if I'm on the street, you know, with Zoe or we were trick or treating or something else, and there's just a guy walking down the street in a Michael Myers outfit and mask, you kind of give him a little bit of a wide berth. Cause it's like, oh, that's cool. Let's just step to the side. You don't know. Step to the side. It's freaky, but that's just it, right?
Walking solo, problematic, man. In a pack with his other monster friends. Hey, have at it.
You wanted to see him like holding hands with a girlfriend?
Yes.
In like a female
Michael
Myers
mask. I feel moderately better about that, even though, as history would tell us in horror movies as well, they could be creeps too.
Yeah, no, but still, maybe you think, okay, well, there's somebody
he
for
found
everybody.
Love. Good for
there's,
him.
Even there's somebody for Michael Myers. You see him on his phone, he's just swiping left, swipe right.
While wearing
and she goes
the
home
mask.
And says, I met a wonderful man. You know, he wears a mask because he's got problems and he's got self-image issues. But he's very quiet and he listens and, he doesn't interrupt me. And, he paid for dinner and, he had a big roll of bills and pulled him out. I mean, like, he's got blood on his hands a lot. I think he must be a butcher. He must work with his hands during the day. But he was so nice. And we walked home. We walked very slow. Didn't try to walk ahead of me. You know, he was very paid. I had to say, come on, let's pick it up. But he walked really, really slow. And I think there's a second date coming.
He's moving with purpose and direction.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I dig that.
Did you call him on the phone? Yes, and he answered. And you know what? It was kind of sexy because he was heavy breathing. And anytime I said, no matter what it was, I said, oh, stop. I want to tell you about my day. And I would just hear. And I got to say, it was exciting. I think this Michael guy is really exciting. I'm really looking forward. I have a good feeling about this relationship.
Seems like there's a movie to be done here.
I'll tell you that there are certain costumes. Even if I see a guy dressed as Jason Voorhees, I'm not as freaked out. Like a guy in a hockey mask walking down, it's like, yeah, okay. No, but Michael Myers, because because Jason doesn't really have a walk or a way he carries himself. Jason's into like this otherworldly power. It's like no matter what you do to him, it's like you can, cut his head off, he still comes back. I guess they cut Michael Myers' head off and he came back. Sorry, spoiler alert. But it's different. Like with Michael Myers, when he's walking really slow and he kind of has that very regal way of stepping slow and with purpose, it's freaky, man. It's freaky. If you see a guy in a Michael Myers mask walking down the street, I guarantee you go to the other side of the street and go, look at that costume. Let's go over here, kids, over here.
No, that's it. And as we get closer and closer to Halloween, words to live by. There's no question about it.
Yeah, you do not want to be that person that's, hey, what happened? Oh, man, I got my ass beat. What happened? I dressed up as Michael Myers. Cops showed up, man. Next thing I know, I'm on the ground. My face is in the ground.
No,
the cops
yell,
hey, I'm beating up Michael Myers.
Yeah, I know we all have to wear masks and you know, how much and where depends on the state you live in, you know, to the degree and how often and whatever. But, you know, that's a mask I think I'd leave out for the Halloween.
What if? But now let me give you a what if. What if it was a Michael Myers mask, but he also had a COVID mask on? Like, I'm going to be safe. I don't want to give. I may stab you with a butcher's knife, but I don't want to give you COVID. So I.
Well,
I,
that means that I'm, means he's more concerned with the population as a whole, but he may not have the same regard for you.
Okay. So I don't want to spread. I don't want to spread this because I got it now. Okay. I got it now. All right. That would be pretty cool though. Michael Myers.
How you like that? That's some wordsmithing of the highest degree. Go back and listen to that, people. Apple Podcasts, Google Play, wherever you get your audio. We love you when you download it and give it 5 stars and tell your friends and family. I mean, the holidays are coming up. Nothing better than here's a link and a picture of our mugs to say, hey, you really should be listening to these guys. It's a gift that keeps on giving, I tell you.
877-99 on Fox is the phone number, 877-996-6369. Now, here's a hot take that is not really a hot take when you think about it. These stories are always going to be inexorably linked until there is a resolution to it. Yesterday, USC fired Clay Helton as head football coach. There are 100 names that were thrown out there, but now the one name today gaining a lot of attention because Adam Schefter tweeted out that a guy on USC's radar is Eric Bieniemy. Bieniemy, who has said that the USC job is one of those few gigs he would coach college over the NFL for. Like, who wouldn't? USC, you could, if you win there, you could stay there forever and be the biggest bleeping rock star in the world. They'd ask you for your opinion on stuff. They'd say, forget Nick Saban. Hey, what do you think about this, Eric? That's the gig. And with Schefter tweeting that out, you know that's something that's not just, oh, here's something being discussed around Heritage Hall. No, this is something that, hey, this is out there, right? Schefter isn't putting that out there unless there's a there's a big-time possibility that that's going to happen. So just by him saying that, I would say Bieniemy is the favorite. Now, you couple this with what's going on in Jacksonville and Urban Meyer and the lack of any positivity that he's had basically since he's been hired, not counting the drafting of Trevor Lawrence. And I know we joke around about the, oh, look at he's checking what's going on in USC. Here's Urban Meyer. Let's get a live look at Urban Meyer and USC and people putting all kinds of crazy stuff on Twitter. Now, I understand that. We make a lot of fun of that. But about one-on with Urban Meyer, right? The guy's had zero honeymoon, right? You're supposed to have a honeymoon when you get a new job. He hasn't had one. I got to go back to Rich Rodriguez at Michigan to find the last time a guy had less of a honeymoon in coaching. Even Adam Gase had more of a honeymoon than Urban Meyer had. And he does Trevor Lawrence the starter. He brings in Tim Tebow with this crazy publicity stunt that doesn't win him over any positivity. He winds up fighting with his coaches, putting pressure on them to win in the preseason. And now here we go, getting ready for week two. He's not going to be made available to the media to talk ahead of the Broncos game. There is nothing positive going on right now in Jacksonville. And it may not be for USC, right? Because USC, look, as we said yesterday, if USC was still a football program, if they still really knew how important the program was, they would have fired Clay Helton 2 years ago. But the fact they're just getting around to it now, that school is such a mess. I don't know which way is up. Right? Clearly, the football broke the priority it should be, and that's on USC. That's an organizational failure of the biggest degree. You're not going to go to Alabama and get to the football program. No, dude, Alabama football is the biggest thing in the country. We're going to make sure. They don't do that at Ohio State. They don't go, you know, the Ohio State football program, well, we'll get to that. We're winning 7 or 8 games a year. We're fine. No, this is Ohio State football. So this is a big failure. So it might not be for USC, but if I had to put an over-under at, does Urban Meyer make it out of season one with the Jaguars? I would say there's a better chance he pulls a Bobby Petrino and he leaves at some point during the season than he does making it to the end. Because this is just a disaster so far. And if Trevor Lawrence isn't playing well, this is going to mushroom as the season goes on. And every week, it just looks like 10 weeks. So if you get to that point, middle of the season, it's a 1-7, 1-8 year. It gets that bad and Trevor Lawrence isn't playing well, Urban Meyer is going to hit the ejection seat. And he's going to leave, and he's going to say, yeah, it didn't work, and either he jumps right back into college if USC wants to hire him. If they say, hey, listen, the job is open, call and see if you can get out of that. Or he waits 3 weeks, 4 weeks, like he makes it to the beginning of December, and then says, okay, it's 4 weeks, I'm done. Where, you know, that's exactly what Bobby Petrino did, jumping to Arkansas. Yeah, I can easily see that happening. I would bet on him leaving before the season ends that he actually makes it to the end of the season. Bobby Petrino, it's a new generation. We get one of these, right? We always see history repeat itself. Urban Meyer is that guy to say, you know what? It's just been too tough. He hasn't had any real positive days, so now I'm walking away.
Oh, I think it's brilliant. I love what you've come up with here. I don't think he leaves, but I like that it's even out there as a possibility. And look, folks can go back and Google the whole history of Bobby Petrino. That's a pretty big statement of a guy leaving a letter. Dear Slim, I wrote you, but you just ain't calling. It is just a crazy situation. But you mentioned all of that. The strength coach hiring, all just one thing after the next. The fines for over workouts, right? Here's an extra one, an extra time, and whatever else. And look, I thought that was money well spent. That's fine. At least at the time I did. It doesn't look like it did him a bit, damn bit of good based on the product that you saw in week one as Lovie Smith and the Houston Texans, David Culley. Congratulations to all those guys. I said they would be professional and they'd come out and do good things, and they did me right with that upset victory in week one. But I think this is one that bears watching. Does he stay at Jacksonville after the year? That one, I'd probably go 60-40 if it continues down this path, maybe 70-30. The fact that you got PR stepping in and not allowing him to do one of these satellite things with all our friends in the Denver media. Yes, and I know as we talked with Jay Glazer early on in the show, it wasn't mandatory, and now they've pushed it back to where it's now an optional deal. I just don't just think it's bad business to not at least give 15 minutes of your time. You might have to have some craptastic questions. You might have a couple of tough ones given the offseason you had, but ducking the USC question instead of just saying, you know what, blank you, we got our ass handed to us. I got to figure out stuff here. Leave me alone on that. Next question. You know, it seemed pretty simple. Be a man. You know, you're over 40. You've gone through and you've had some stuff, but his history comes up huge here now, right? The number of times he has walked away and then waited it out and then come back into a better situation. That, to me, is equal in the Urban Meyer story as is winning. And I think a lot of folks tamp down the other. Different times he's stepped down as, you know, just like Pete Carroll at USC. Stuff starts swirling about. Up. I'm out of here, and then reemerging. So this one is, I think, an interesting story to watch. You ended up with some solid numbers fantasy-wide from Trevor Lawrence, but it was not pretty in any way, shape, or form. But, yeah, I don't know that he ripcords in the middle of the season, but if he does, I will bid heavily for that note once it gets released to an auction house.
He's going to find that button going, hey, I bet he's on the phone with his agent right now going, okay, not saying I want to, right? I'm not saying I want to, right? Right? Okay. But if I did want to leave during the season, how ironclad is that? How much money would I have to give back? Again, not that I want to. I mean, I'm not saying I want to, but just if something happened, what legally, what would the outcome be? What would the fallout be for me if that happened?
Well, but I mean, just think about it. Like when they were deciding and he was one of the candidates and there was all that smoke about him coming in, right? There was the talk that the administratives at the top were like, yeah, the history, given all that we're going through right now is bad. They're not giving any of the coaches control, right? That was one thing for Clay Helton. As much as you could say, all right, he failed on all these levels and you saw, man, the feeding frenzy. All the people that kissed his ass for years and wouldn't write the hard truth. All of a sudden, it's like, yeah, it was clear this was not a fit. Like, whoa, you vultures, you dirtbag, sycophantic, rats fleeing a sinking ship, writers and pundits across the greater Los Angeles area. My God, man. But, you know, to think that they'd now come in and just suddenly give up all control and let him build, given the reservations the last time, even if you've moved out some of the principal players, I don't see it happening. The buyouts for Clay Helton, whatever, not a big deal. But bringing in another guy who you're going to have to answer a lot of those questions about upon walking in the door, yeah, I don't think USC's going down that road right now.
Get ready, Urban Meyer. Where's that parachute? Hey, Bobby, Urban, listen. Hey. Can we talk off the record? Okay, great. All right. I'm going to ask you a question. So when you left Atlanta, right, like, did you leave a note for your coaches? Or what? How tough was it for you to actually get out of town? Was that difficult? Did it lane for you? Like, what? Like, or did you have to do the travel on your own? All right, just let me know. I just want to know about that. Can you let me know? Tell him. Bobby Petrino, Urban Meyer. I'd put my money on the under. Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets Swollen Dome. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. When a train hits a vehicle at a railway crossing, the results are often deadly. Be cautious at crossings. And if the signals are going, don't be tempted to try and sneak across the tracks, even if you don't see a train. Stop, because trains can't. Brought to you by NHTSA. Well, coming up next, do we have a huge number? Do we have a huge number coming your way off of week one in the National Football League? It's in the high millions. That's next right here. Jason and Mike, Fox.
Huge boner.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Yes, sir.
Now, I know tonight the 30 for 30 Once Upon a Time in Queens is on ESPN. And look, you think I'm going to sit here and say, oh, here comes Jason talking about the Mets again. No, look, I've said it from the beginning. I don't really think we need another show or something else on the 86 Mets. I don't think we know everything. We know everything they're going to say. Oh, never before. See, no, it's kind of stories we all know. You got to give me something that I haven't heard or something new or something. You can't just say, here's another thing. What you don't know about the 86 Mets. Oh, okay, great. Yeah, it's what we don't know about the 86 Mets. I mean, look, I'll watch it at some point because, look, I'll get to see the video again. I'll get to see new interviews and see how everybody looks and all this kind of stuff. Yeah, of course, I'll watch. But do we really need something? Was the world crying for, hey, you know what we need? Something else on the 86 Mets. We really need something on the 86 Mets.
My man, you got a lot of channels. You need content. And if folks want to just rehash the same stuff, look, all they needed to do was go to a reunion autograph signing, and you got any stories you wanted. Just change the backdrop so it looks like you're in a different house or something. But other than that, I mean, you're good to go. Color it in with, you know, some of the broadcasters, as you will. Grab a famous fan or four to give you a quip, and that's it. I mean, get them on, get them over, get them in. And they're one of the more colorful teams that we've had, right? Some of the cast of characters, some of the big stories that are long told. Here, now you just change them up a little bit. Maybe you add one or two folks who are maybe no longer with us that you protected their names in the past. Like, they're not here to refute or defend themselves anymore. So we know how that goes when you write the tell-all book. It's like, hey, I redacted a big part of that story until I didn't need to. And then we look at it from a fresh set of eyes. Look, I mean, it's a cottage industry in Chicago, right? If you just wanted to say, all right, I'm going to read a book every month this year about the 85 Bears, you could find 12 brand new books or essay, you know, compilations or whatever about the 85 Bears. And it's going to be, you know, all right, he was the last man on the squad. He actually only had 4 snaps. But you know what? He was there most of training camp. He was around a couple of these guys now and again. Here's his memoir. I mean, you're going to have that forever. And the Mets are another one of those squads.
Like, I can't imagine, like, in 1995, let's say, hearing, you know, oh, here's another, because it's 35 years ago now for the 86 Mets, right? It's a long time. Look, and they're a legendary team. Quite odd. They may be the most famous team of the last 50 years in Major League Baseball for everything. So I get the overall, hey, the 86 Mets are a really big deal. But I can't imagine, like, back in 1995 saying, oh, here's another retrospective on the 1960 World Series. Here's another retrospective on Bill Mazeroski's home run. It's another one on Mazeroski and how they beat the Yankees. Like, I can't imagine that. But yet, yeah, let's have something on the 86 Mets. Okay, all right, here we go. 86 Mets. It amazes me that we're going to go back to this. I mean,
baby. If it ain't profitable, it ain't getting printed or produced. They realize there's money to be had.
Unless everybody is talking and, like, Daryl Strawberry has the iPad and he's getting to laugh and going, so I took that personally. I mean, unless we're getting that, I really don't think we need the 86 Mets again.
Now, that
if
would
we
be
get that,
funny.
That'd be pretty cool.
Well, how about a bunch of stories from the opponents that had to deal with them all the time and some of the stories they may have heard or maybe some of the parties they went to after getting beaten by the 86 Mets. Now I bet you there's some fun fodder. Oh, yeah, they took me to this bar ahead of my start, and let me tell you, man, that was next-level stuff right there. I mean, now you're talking.
So I took that personally. I really want to see that.
I took that extra shot of tequila personally.
I took that personally. Twitter it out about a fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. This is evidence of a couple of things. And we're going to give you a big number coming off of week one in the National Football League. And it's evidence of two things. One is somewhat... You get it. One is a little bit more shocking. The ratings for the Monday night football game last night between the Raiders and the unvictorious Baltimore Ravens came out earlier tonight.
Look at that. The unvictorious. One of the craziest games ever. I got stopped at the grocery store by people who know what I do.
Wow.
You get to talking, and they're like, so what was that? I go, one of the craziest games ever and an absolute gift for us.
It was the highest rated opening game in years in the National Football League. It had 15.5 million viewers across all of the ESPN ABC channels. That is a big deal. That is up 42% compared to last year's game. All right, that's the most viewed NFL opener since 2013. You're almost going back a decade for someone to tune into a game more so than this one, right? And this wasn't even Bucks and the Cowboys. This was the Ravens and the Raiders. As much, okay, yeah, Lamar Jackson's exciting and the Raiders are a big heritage team, but it's not Brady and the Cowboys. This is the Ravens and the Raiders. And it was the highest watched opener in the NFL since 2013. Right now, the number one thing we need to learn about this when it talks about ratings is that last year, the down ratings obviously were due to COVID. Right. It, when you think back to where we were at a year ago at this time, where there didn't seem like there was an end in sight for the pandemic. We were still months away from a vaccine. We were all excited about the NFL coming back. It was great. But viewership was way down. Why? Because real life can be pretty depressing sometimes. And real life is pretty important. So you know what? Sometimes getting to the television to watch something and watch it so it can be measured on by Nielsen, is not the most important thing. People had stuff going on. This was, we were in life or death situations where we're going out to get groceries. We didn't know, am I going to come back with COVID? Can I get it from the shopping cart? Can I get it if a guy breathes on me? I mean, we still didn't know. And real life gets involved with a lot. Why were ratings down in the NFL in 2016? Because the presidential election was a really big deal. And in 2020, guess what? The presidential election was a really big deal. People only have so much room and so much RAM for what it is. People watch television shows at night. Are they watching sports as much as they were watching MSNBC or CNN or Fox News, wondering what's it like tonight? You know, look, I'll tell you, we could, if you printed up jerseys that said Democrats and Republicans, and the Democrats had blue jerseys, Republicans had red jerseys, people would wear them every day. They would wear hats. They would look like they were going to a game.
Like I need to exploit a market.
Right, there you go. Well, remember, blue is Democrat and red is Republican, right? You can't mix the colors. Just make sure.
Thanks. Okay.
Unless you want to do purple and do both. You
can look,
do
both. I'm not a smart man, to quote Forrest Gump, but I know blue versus red.
But that's the first part, is that sometimes things happen, and that's what gets into sports. And we've seen a big rebound already. Ratings were up 7%. Over last year, I mean, that's an incredible jump, right? Because think about when ratings are down 1%. Articles do you see on the internet going, oh, NFL's in trouble, ratings are down again, look at this. Our ratings are up 7% now. What are you going to say? The NFL's going out of business, they're only up 7%. No, 7% across the board is huge, huge. It is huge. So just understand for a second, when we talk about ratings and when they were down a year ago, there's reasons for that. Every 4 years, ratings are going to go down a bit because the way politics takes over our country, it just dwarfs everything else. And this is why you come to sports, for an escape from that for the most part. Now, sometimes politics and sports intersect. We do topics when it comes to it. I told you tonight how I shared a studio with Larry Elder for 3 years in the early 2000s and my big chair story with Larry Elder. But look, outside of that, look, you come to sports for an escape. And sometimes reality is too much to have that escape. And so that's the first thing I will tell you about the TV ratings for the NFL. It's great news they're back. I expect them to be back like this, but even I was surprised how big it was for Ravens Raiders. Because, I mean, like I said, it's Ravens Raiders. This is not a matchup that jumps out and go, oh man. But clearly everybody wanted to get to the TV for Ravens Raiders.
Positivity week one of the National Football League final game. Maybe you were chasing some money on your bets. Maybe you were looking to parlay, add some fantasy implications, and just the excitement of football being back, right? You're not, maybe you're back out and about. Maybe you're back into your offices, wherever you work. Just be safe, take care of each other, and on the highways and byways, you know, keep your head on a swivel, because folks are learning to drive once again, as we find out here in the greater Los Angeles area every time I get out on the roads. Certainly one of those things that, you know, you stop short because folks are being a bit crazy. So just be careful out there. But to that point is you're not in the house all day, where it becomes the, all right, you're watching 12 hours of television before the evening games start. All sorts of factors that come in. But I think there's just a positivity. You got the fans back in the stadium, right? Allegiant last year, I didn't quite understand Mark Davis's policy, right? They were given the clearance to have some folks in, but he said all or nothing. So he didn't invite fans into Allegiant last year, but now you saw how raucous the crowd was there. You saw it. I was there at SoFi. There were some points where I questioned the volume versus the people actually screaming, but that's a discussion for a whole other time as we go through. But either way, I think part of that flows through 32 states now in short order here where you can legally bet. So I think all those factors climb back in. And whenever we get into ratings, Jason, you know this, I take it all with a grain of salt, because are you truly capturing everybody? Right. You know, when you start talking about, you know, mass consumption at a bar, restaurant, the streaming numbers versus, you know, all of those different ways that people now consume these things, it's a different mechanism. And let's face it, the bigger issue is that the TV money keeps flowing in. so the ratings are almost inconsequential. It's like, did the advertisers get what they needed in terms of click-through on the web portion of the proceedings?
Well, you know, and I'm glad you brought that up, because that's the other part about these ratings is that, yes, okay, is there an ish factor with ratings? Yeah, but this number I'm going to give you, right? We had 15 million people watch the game last night. Mm-hmm. 800,000 people watched the Manning broadcast on ESPN2, right, where Peyton and Eli gave their thoughts on the game. And the way the internet responded to that today, you would walk away from that not knowing the numbers, going, well, what were that? Half the people must have watched on that channel, right? Because every, oh, Lord, Peyton Manning and Eli Manning, the coverage of that was way disproportionate. You're talking about 15 million people watched a game and 800,000 of them watched it that way. But the way the internet covered it was, oh, this broadcast with Peyton and Eli. Dude, nobody saw that. Less than a million people saw that, yeah. Right? That's the NHL. We don't talk about the NHL as much because it's in a million games and watch big games, all right? Just because something is covered on social media and written about on the internet doesn't mean it's that big a deal, right? Doesn't mean it's something that, boy, it cuts through. Now, look, parts of it were entertaining, sure, but nobody watched it, right? No, it's like I kept seeing all these numbers, how great a TV show Girls was on HBO. Right? Oh, Girls is such a great show. Girls is great. Girls is great. Girls is great. Adam Driver is great. All the okay. Now, Girls wasn't in my wheelhouse because it wasn't, you know, I'm older than the characters and this and all. That wasn't my show. But I just keep looking at it going, less than 500,000 people are watching this show. But yet it's blogged about on the internet like it's the biggest show on TV, like it's The Walking Dead. And I'm like, there's just nobody is watching this show. How is this being talked about as being nobody's watching it? It's not that big a deal, but it's covered that way. And when it's covered that way, you think it's a big thing, right? When LeBron James got upset when he left Cleveland for the Lakers and there was the fan online who burned his jersey, right? And LeBron got upset about it. And suddenly that image was everywhere, right? Everywhere you looked in your social media file, here's somebody burning LeBron James's jersey. And LeBron gets mad about it, says people shouldn't be burning my jersey, all this stuff. It was one jersey. It was one jersey that got shared millions of times on social media because here's a guy that is burning LeBron James's jersey. This wasn't an epidemic across the country. This wasn't like in all across. Look at this. Everybody's having bonfires now, and here's the Air 7 above.
I'm seeing a big pocket of LeBron James jerseys going up in flames right now. If we take that look back down, you can see this, and you hear the whoop, 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 whoop in the background.
One person burned his jersey, but yet it was like an epidemic.
Sure.
Right? Not that big a deal. This Peyton Manning thing's great, but the way you read today, oh, Peyton did this, Peyton did all your Peyton. Nobody watched it. Nobody watched it. Okay, so just understand that when the way the internet treats things sometimes is not nearly as big as what the outcome is. Because I've got to tell you, ESPN's going to walk away, or whoever broadcasts the game, and you know, Thursday night, the 26 million who watch the Cowboys and the Bucks are going, hey, that's great if you had nice, you know, 700,000 people, 800,000 people. We'll take the 15 million who watch it so we can sell advertising through the roof and make all kinds of money on this. You have your nice little internet thing. That's great. You have your nice little internet thing. That's awesome. You do that. Yeah, we'll take this. Now, yes, it is the same company, ESPN, ESPN2. But my point is that, you know, all the attention goes to this, and it really wasn't that big a thing.
Yeah, I think it was a lot more media folks, because look, I don't have a full say and an educated opinion as to how well Greasy and Riddick and company do in the booth, right? Because when I'm watching it, I don't have sound. We're working, right? I don't have that. So it's, to me, and even the Manning broadcast, it said, based on some of the stuff I saw circulating on Twitter, seems like a fun watch. But again, it was mostly, I think, folks that work in and around football in our business that wanted to see how it would be done in a non-traditional broadcast kind of way, with these two guys riffing and bringing in their friends. And from what I gather, and as we watched it unfold, there was a really interesting time when they had Russell Wilson hanging out with them, which is great. But 800,000, will it grow? Yeah, I would suspect it does some, but it also just shows either folks didn't care to just see the Manning brothers. Maybe they hate them because they got tired of them after 20 years. Maybe there's a little bit of that, of the overexposure. Maybe. I don't know. But you also just have the I'm going to watch it the traditional way. I'm going to watch it as the broadcast is done without it being I don't know, just the bar conversation, as folks would always say, right? Not the true broadcast, but more two guys sitting in a bar just talking football. And maybe that just didn't appeal to a mass audience, but we'll see. Certainly the folks in our business loved it a whole hell of a lot. So it'll still get written about. It'll still be exciting for them. Kind of like Tony Romo predicting plays. Some folks really like it. I really don't care. I want to watch the play.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
My book back personally.
Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Oh!
That's unbelievable stuff right there.
Doing a cat impression.
Wow.
Look, with week one in the books, I told you this team was going to wind up being the best team in the NFL the back half of the season.
Cleveland!
But after not close. But after 1 week, if you said to me, okay, who looks like the best team in the NFL? I would say it's the Rams. I mean, I know you went to the guy, I know the Bears, I know your hatred for Matt Nagy is just boiling when I mention this game, but the Rams looked like, in a game in which you didn't know what you were going to get from them at running back, in Matthew Stafford's debut, about as good a performance as you could get. They looked like a team that middle of the season is really good, and maybe they don't have their A game, but they still find a way to win by nearly three touchdowns. That's kind of what the Rams looked like. And Stafford threw the ball well. He threw the ball short well, threw it deep well. It was about all you can expect. And that's all you need. Just be the regular Matthew Stafford. Doesn't need him to be some hey, now he's got to throw 45 times. No, just be the guy you have been. And now on a good team, that's going to be enough. And, you know, I know that there's the question of, oh, the running game is going to be difficult this year. I can say that. They're not going to need the running game as much because they're going to be able to trust Matthew Stafford to throw the football way more than they trusted Jared Goff last year. That's why they went to a big run-heavy format because they couldn't trust Jared Goff. So they had to go to Cam Akers and Henderson. But they don't have to do that now. Yes, they don't have Cam Akers. They'll figure out the running situation. They are predicated on playing great defense, throwing the football, and of all the teams that have the least number of questions after week one, because there's teams that won big that I go, well, are they really this big? Did they play a bad team? I feel pretty good about the Rams. You said to me right now, who's the best team in the NFL? I tell you the Rams.
All right, couple of things. Number one, I'm going to give you Marquise Goodwin's Bears approach against Jalen Ramsey. This sums up my feelings of this game because I really think it was a lot closer than most are giving it. Why? Because the highlight package looks better. Quote, he's a unique player, all pro, pro bowler, instinctive, especially in short spaces. Us not running past 10 yards, that fell right into his hands, I feel like. I'll leave that where it is. San Francisco took care of business. Big beatdown of Detroit. And then it got interesting in the second half. A lot of fight left in Detroit. But I think so long as they don't keep losing guys as they did last year and they lose Mostert for the year to the injury, Elijah Mitchell, your waiver wire darling, they're a team to watch. But there's not a surprise, right? They beat Detroit. They were expected to beat Detroit handily. The Arizona win over Tennessee has my interest. Do I think they're a great team? No, but if Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury have finally found a bit of a formula and they can get a little more out of the run game, and yes, Chandler Jones is not going to have five sacks per game, but at least the defense up front has some teeth. Maybe the Arizona Cardinals don't go quietly into the good night. So a couple of NFC West teams, division that went 4-0 in week one.
Twitter at How About a Fresca? Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. The 49ers are winning. When will Trey be the quarterback? But they're winning. When will Trey be the quarterback?
Jimmy.
Coming up next.
Jimmy.
What is the panic button level like for some teams that had big, shocking week one defeats? We'll tell you what it's at coming up next right here. Jason and Mike, you're listening to Fox. Rams, yo. Ram it.
Liar.
I work mad personally.